Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. It happens every 4 years. The year after the presidential election, we elect a New York City mayor and a New Jersey governor. So politically, it'll be a very interesting election year again, just focused on our local races more than the national ones. Today, we'll preview the New York side a bit with Ben Max, the executive editor of Gotham Gazette. Ben's list of potential candidates for mayor and other city offices is out. It's about 8 pages long, including all those local offices that we're not going to talk about. But Gotham Gazette will be editing it on a running basis. And some of these names for mayor may surprise you. So happy holidays, Ben Max. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Same to you.
And I want to actually jump right in with an issue that has already started to be debated by Mayor de Blasio and one of his challengers. On this program, we had State Senator Tony Avella of Queens on the show last week. He has announced, and he took the opportunity to challenge de Blasio's record on one of the mayor's signature programs, Vision Zero, aimed at greatly reducing traffic deaths. Here is a little bit of what Tony Avella said.
I've said this to the mayor's people time and time again. It's not just about putting a bike lane in, and again, without community input. It's not putting in a pedestrian plaza against, in a lot of cases, against community input. What about trying to get an always stop or a traffic light at a neighborhood? It takes almost like an act of God to get those controls. The city keeps relying on federal guidelines, and it's if you really want to increase pedestrian safety and improve safety in neighborhoods, why are we not doing more to involve local communities in, hey, I've got a dangerous intersection here. I want an all-way stop. Okay, let's take a serious look. Let's do it.
So he's combining a few issues there. The backlash against bike lanes. He called de Blasio elsewhere in our conversation anti-motorist. But also the difficulty in getting some of the other safety measures through. And you know that around the city, neighborhoods are often petitioning City Hall for a four-way stop here, a left turn signal there. And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they decide it's just not worth the money because there's not enough threat, I guess. So here's the mayor's response to Avella when I played him exactly that clip.
First of all, we work very closely with communities to determine what will make things safer. This is part of why we're doing so many redesigns of intersections. We listen to communities all the time, and we take that input, and we also have to bring to bear what we know factually works to keep people safe. Something like a speed camera around a school, for example, may not always win the popularity contest, but it sure protects kids. And so we're going to keep doing that. There are definitely places where we need more traffic lights and stop signs. And I talk to my fellow New Yorkers all the time who make those requests. Some of them make a lot of sense. And sometimes Department of Transportation needs to work quicker to get them done. Others don't necessarily make so much sense. But it's part of the bigger puzzle. What really works, we've reduced the speed limit in many parts of the city. We've put in the speed cameras around schools. We're changing the traffic designs and intersections and putting in a lot of traffic calming measures. And especially that intensive NYPD enforcement. That's what really changes the situation in terms of safety. And again, we have 3 years of data to prove it, Brian.
All right. Issue engaged by State Senator Tony Avella of Queens, now running for mayor, and Mayor de Blasio, both last week here on the show. Ben Max from Gotham Gazette. What do you think about Vision Zero as a strength or vulnerability of de Blasio as he runs for reelection?
I think it's largely going to be a strength. I think that the city has done quite a bit to reduce fatalities, especially traffic crash fatalities, especially in the first year of the program. Now, we've seen a little bit of an uptick, or it stayed flat this year, but the city's certainly making progress on this front, and I think the mayor is going to be able to speak to that.
I did ask the mayor, and I didn't prep you for this question, so I don't know if you would have the stats at your fingertips, but I did cite from a Daily News article in November that indicated pedestrian deaths were slightly up this year over last year as of November, which would indicate that progress on that very major measurement of Vision Zero has stalled. The mayor said, well, don't take the, you know, the daily news report of a number that's old as the final thing. So I don't know exactly how it's going to wind up. But if that report was accurate, it's basically stalled this year.
So I want to point to two things that actually happened on your show. One is that you challenged Tony Avella on his claims that City Hall was fudging the numbers on Vision Zero, and he wasn't able to support that with actual facts. So that's important.
Correct.
At the same time, you challenged the mayor on the Vision Zero numbers, and he actually, listening, it was much easier to catch this, he shifted from pedestrian deaths to overall traffic deaths. So I do believe pedestrian deaths are up slightly, but other people involved in traffic crashes, deaths of those folks are down. Now, I think it is flat this year, and I think as the mayor said, and rightfully said, you can't expect everything to always travel in a straight line with some of these long-term programs. Do we want to see more progress on Vision Zero each year? Of course, and the mayor should be held accountable for that. And whether he's listening to communities on some of these issues is, of course, essential. However, not everything travels in a straight line. We see that with murder. You know, sometimes there's dips, sometimes there's increases, but if the long-term trend line is down, which it has been for decades in New York City, that's a positive.
And Avella, coming from Northeast Queens, which is more of a car-oriented community than a lot of the city, is maybe more running there on backlash to bike lanes and other things that are considered anti-motorist in his term.
It's a fascinating discussion because Bill de Blasio is known to be fairly favorable to motorists, and he's a driver himself, and he talks about that. So it's very interesting to see where people come at the mayor from. But of course, Tony Avella does represent this district pretty far out in Queens. I think what Tony Avella is hitting on, and it's something that all potential opponents to Bill de Blasio will likely hit on, is City Hall, our de Blasio administration, commissioners and agencies being attentive to all the different communities of New York City? A very tall order, but of course, it's what New Yorkers expect.
And of course, different communities have different priorities, and it's incumbent on the incumbent as well as the challengers to thread that needle and show people that you care enough about enough of the different needs that people in different places and from different groups have. All right. There are eight other people, according to your list, who have declared that they're running against de Blasio. In addition to Senator Avella, I'm going to just read the names on this list, okay? Listeners, you're going to know how much of a wonk you are by how many of these names you've ever heard before. Democrats, Sal Albanese, Bo Deedle, Josh Thompson, those three. Republicans, Paul Massey, Michael Faulkner, and Darren Dion Aquino. And then there's Jimmy McMillan from the Rent is Too Damn High party. Well, everybody heard of Jimmy McMillan.
Everybody knows Jimmy.
And there's one more name here, Michael Bash. What's his affiliation?
We're still working on that. There's some of these names. I mean, it's very early, but if folks have registered with either the State Board of Elections or the City Campaign Finance Board, we, of course, are including them on our initial list, and we'll include them until we discover that for some reason they're not running a viable campaign. But it's very early, so we're putting all the names out there. And you didn't read the names of the folks that are rumored, which I think we'll get to. But of course, at this early of a stage, it's also important to put out rumored candidates as well so that people know who what names are also being mentioned or who's flirting with a run.
And these are the bigger names: Christine Quinn, Scott Stringer, the city controller, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, who just got promoted to a leadership position among the House Democrats, Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. Have I got the list?
Yeah, you've got a lot of them. I mean, you know, on the Republican side, it's very interesting to watch City Councilmember Eric Ulrich from Queens, who is very much, you know, sort of a moderate Republican, perhaps the type of Republican who could interest some Democrats who are unhappy with Mayor de Blasio in a general election, or the many independent voters who aren't affiliated with a major party. But right now, the Republican field is looking fairly thin. And those Democrats you mentioned are all sort of just watching and waiting.
What are they watching and waiting? Let's stay on the Democratic side for a minute. What are they watching and waiting for?
Well, first, they're watching and waiting for the grand juries that have been impaneled in the investigations into the mayor, which you covered with him recently. And he's been pushed to discuss quite a bit when he does face members of the media.
Right. Though it almost doesn't matter what our conversations are about that. Either the U.S. Attorney Preparara and or the Manhattan DA Cy Vance are going to indict him or people close to him, or they're not, I guess. And is it your sense that we'll know in a matter of weeks, and that'll obviously set the landscape in large measure for 2017?
My sense is that we should know in a matter of a couple of months, but that's not from any great inside information. It's just a matter of fact that if the reports are true, this was in the New York Times originally, that grand juries have been impaneled, then we should know the results of those. The big questions for the mayor and his allies here are, if we get the results of these two grand juries and let's say there's no indictments, does that mean that all of the investigations are closed, or are these just elements? And that could be hanging over 2017 for a long time.
Because the prosecutors may not say explicitly that they're closed per se, as opposed to, well, we're not bringing in the indictments today and anything is possible in the future, because you never know what new information turns up about any case.
Exactly. And we saw that, of course, in the presidential election
right.
in a very significant way. One thing that U.S. Attorney Preparara did in 2014 is he came out and he publicly cleared Governor Cuomo on the
yes.
Moreland Commission,
right.
which was a fascinating move. But he said it was important to do so because of the election. So Mayor de Blasio has actually referenced that type of move. He hasn't cited it specifically, but he said in election years, you know, there's sort of an assumption that you try to get some of this cleared up so that voters have all the information.
Right. Personally, I think that would be a public service. If there's something to indict him for, indict him and let the chips fall where they may.
But well, that's up to, you know, folks on these grand juries right now.
That's yeah. right. Mm-hmm. But if not, then see if you're the U.S. attorney or you're the Manhattan DA, if you can come to a point where you have enough closure in your own mind in your investigation that you can say publicly with confidence that we haven't found anything on the mayor right now, if that's their determination, and say it out loud so that you and I, Ben, and other people in the, you know, in the issue-oriented media can spend more time discussing affordable housing and Vision Zero and jobs and et cetera, rather than, oh, well, this wisp of a contribution cause an indictment 6 months from now and all of that stuff.
I couldn't agree more, and especially as the U.S. attorney, Preparara himself, has become a very public figure speaking all over the state and even the country, and the number of leaks that have come out of these investigations. So you'd think if those are sneaking out, then real public information about where things stand would be pretty important as well.
I was surprised. Should I have been surprised to see that Donald Trump has announced that Preparara will be retained as U.S. attorney for New York? Because Preparara is a Democrat.
That grabbed a lot of people's attention. I think that one thing that Preparara has shown is that he doesn't seem to have much allegiance to party. He's brought down a number of Democrats and a number of Republicans doing the job that many want to see other ethics enforcers do. There was also something interesting at play there, apparently, in terms of a call from Chuck Schumer, because Preparara is a former Chuck Schumer aide. So this is part of this trend with Donald Trump, which is a whole different avenue for us to travel down. But it's part of this pattern with Donald Trump that he sort of likes suggestions from the last person he spoke with. So
yeah.
that perhaps is what happened there.
And it occurred to me that since he's the Republican president-elect, maybe the very fact that Preparara is focused right now on investigating high-profile Democrats is what led Trump to keep him on. That's speculation.
Certainly, but could be.
Politically, it would kind of make sense.
So, yeah. And so I think that, you know, one of the key elements here is that you have folks watching and waiting, including especially Comptroller Scott Stringer, who it's a very fascinating calculation to me and to many others, which is if you think you would be a better mayor than Bill de Blasio, why not declare a run, point out the flaws that you see, and take him on? And then if grand juries give you good news for your campaign, all the better to you.
Should we mention some possible Republican challengers for the general election? And there's one that I have to ask you about, because some people will remember that a certain son of a certain president-elect went on one of the Sunday talk shows, I guess during the Republican convention or thereabouts, and said he was considering challenging Bill de Blasio. I think it was Don Jr., right?
I think
right?
so, yeah. I think that when he spoke at the Republican National Convention, people were impressed by how well he delivered his speech and saw him, oh, here's a potential new Republican star, especially in New York. There's been very little talk of that since, and I don't see that as a viable Republican path. I think especially when you look at how Donald Trump the president-elect did in New York City during the presidential election, I think that would give a lot of pause to his son about running.
I guess so, unless he thought Staten Island could put him over the top.
Perhaps.
Hillary Clinton won with a huge percentage of the vote, like 80% of the vote in four of the boroughs. But did you know, have you published this in the Gotham Gazette? At least I have read that Donald Trump won Staten Island with a bigger percentage margin then he won Texas.
I think I heard that somewhere, but I don't think we've written that.
And I think that basically follows race. It's just a whiter borough percentage-wise and with some conservative leanings than Texas is, which has a much more diverse population.
Right. And you're hitting on something there, which is the demographics of this 2017 mayoral race. If you look at public polls, and again, I caution everybody, of course, about public polling generally, but also especially this early in a mayor's race, the name recognition is so low on these potential candidates that, A, that shows you what they would have to do to get really in the game, but also it doesn't give you a complete picture once a campaign really ramps up. However, if you look at the public polling, the white New Yorkers' disapproval of Mayor de Blasio is off the charts in a negative direction.
As it's been since he was elected.
And there's really – it's a much harder road in a Democratic primary to capture enough white votes to defeat the mayor. However, there is a path in the general election numbers-wise. It is a challenging path, though, and of course, you can't beat somebody with nobody.
Let me ask you about one other person for today, and we'll have a lot to talk about in 2017 when these races really get going. Melissa Mark Viverito, Speaker of the New York City Council. I think you reported that she's one of only seven council members who are term limited out at the end of next year. And she may have thought she would be headed for D.C. because she was a very prominent Hillary Clinton surrogate in this area. But last week on the show, I asked Speaker Mark Viverito if she would consider running for mayor if de Blasio, for any reason, does not run for reelection, because she has endorsed him, right? And here's her response.
All options are open. I will leave it at that. What I will say is that there's a lot of great work that we've done, you know, looking at closing the Rikers and the commission that's out there, things that we've put in place that will not be fulfilled by the time I leave as Speaker. So my interest is to see a lot of these programs, initiatives, things that we're putting in place, see them fulfilled. So I'm going to definitely continue to be very, very active and be very visible here in the city of New York and interested in making sure that the agenda that I've started to lay the groundwork for is accomplished. So I'll be involved and continue to be involved in a very prominent way.
So Melissa Mark Viverito, political leader on the rise, but term limited out at the end of next year. What do you think her options are?
Well, let's say short of a mayoral run, because she wouldn't challenge de Blasio unless – and so she'd run for mayor perhaps if he was not in the picture. Other than that, she's been very coy about what she's doing, and I don't think she knows. People close to her say she doesn't know at this point, and she's still exploring a lot of options. I had a lengthy sit-down with her in August and talked to her about a little bit of this, and she said, just like she said to you, that she wants to stay involved in New York City issues. A couple things I'll flag on her future are – she started this young women's initiative in New York City through the city council. So perhaps she looks to lead some new nonprofit or some new organization that stays involved in city issues. Perhaps then she runs for mayor in 2021 when Mayor de Blasio's second term is over, if he wins one. But she also did a lot of national work with the Latino Victory Fund. So perhaps she gets into more national advocacy work. And then there's also going to be a new regime at the Democratic National Committee. So perhaps there's something there. But that's just me speculating.
Ben Max, editor of the Gotham Gazette. We will have a lot to talk about in 2017. Thanks for coming in for a little preview.
My pleasure.